bless you, my child.
And bless you, Brother John Dan.
I think today it would be most appropriate if I discuss with you the term, expression, he shall give his angels charge concerning me.
I think I need it.
But I think in the wider sense, I think from the point of view of the innumerable peoples that must ask such questions as to the reality of the term, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee. Many people, when they accept the reality of this truth and have the knowledge and the experience that substantiates the claims that we have so long endeavored to proclaim in various ways to your world. So many people, even so, from time to time wonder as to the reality of the expression, he shall give his angels charge concerning me. What does this really mean? That he shall give his angels to care for you, to guide you, to help you, to uplift you. It does not necessarily mean that the angels have the power to assist you materially, and yet oftentimes an entity, a soul from this side, will give you advice on material matters, will suggest that you do this or do that. And quite often, when the advice is taken, it is found that it has been sound, good advice, helpful, and oftentimes lifting one out of a material problem and rut, and thereby making easier the state of mind of the individual, thereby making possible a condition whereby communication can be eased and can be made more definite and more assured. Because if the instrument that is used by us is perturbed, unduly distressed or worried concerning material things, then obviously this is and must be a barrier in the work that we have to do. If we can have calmness, tranquility, peace of mind with our instruments, then obviously it is easier for them and us to make contact and to do the work that we have to do. But I would not have anyone assume that because from time to time we are able to assist and help in the material sense, that this is as important as it sometimes may seem. Our main purpose, of course, is to uplift humanity, to show them the path, the true path of spiritual progression, that they may, by the very nature of these things that we preach, so uplift themselves from the mundane and material, that they may, by the very nature of this communication, use this power that we bring for the good of all mankind. He shall give his angels charge concerning thee. How oft times history has proven again and again and again that those who would take up the responsibility of the Spirit, how oft times they are belabored and besieged by all manner of problem, all manner of trial and tribulation, material. Sometimes these things are necessary. Sometimes they have to be. Sometimes they are brought upon one by circumstance beyond one's own personal control. And sometimes one is the victim of environment. One is the victim of circumstance. Material. And one wonders why one should be subjected to these problems. and anxieties. Sometimes it may be sickness of the body, and then if the person concerned is ill, unable then, so it seems on the surface, to do the work of the Spirit. There are many aspects which worry and concern, and yet history has proven over and over and over again that oftentimes the most reviled of men and those most subjected to material problem, material drawback, have achieved the greatest in spiritual awareness.
Not John Bunyan.
Of course, my child. I speak in this fashion because I would like to clarify, as best I may, this reality of truth, and the angelic power of the Spirit, and what it really means. We would ourselves be of little consequence if we had not from within ourselves the desire to assist to the best of our ability and power those whose needs are many and great, and those in particular who endeavor to serve in your world. But at the same time, there are laws which we cannot alter, and even assume that we could, we would not. There are laws which must be followed to the letter. We are enabled to do, from time to time, things which on the surface must almost appear as miracles. But these are not miracles, these are following out the natural laws to which we are all subjected. The power of the Spirit can achieve many things. He can certainly remove mountains. As Christ himself said, by faith he can remove mountains. Christ, if you remember, said that thy faith hath made thee whole. And this, I think, oftentimes is a problem with many whom we endeavor to assist and help. Oh, ye of little faith.
I try to make it grow.
Yes, child. But I repeat this, that those whom we have oftentimes uplifted out of the mire of material things, of times in their weakness, and of times in their stupidity, do not realize the power of the Spirit and what it can do, what it can achieve, and of times they judge inaccurately, and of times they assume that because we appear not to have helped in a certain way, which to them would have been a great revelation, would have perhaps been a great blessing, they assume that we have failed. This is not so. There are laws, material, and laws, spiritual. Sometimes these laws are interwoven, one with the other. Sometimes they are opposed, like warring armies on the opposite side with different ideology, different aspect of mind and thought and experience, and therefore you must follow out the laws of the material. You must live to some extent by these things. Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. And yet they are both of the same coin. And if a coin is defaced, it is of little or no value. If I could make people see that the laws of the Spirit cannot be changed, cannot be altered to suit the convenience of any one person on either side of life.
I thought as I came along what you said some time ago about nothing is achieved by man without effort. Well, it seems that the condition of the world makes the challenge of effort more and more day by day.
In your world today, we see the product of man's foolishness, stupidity, because man has turned his back upon the angels and God, because man has assumed that he can use the laws of God to suit his own ends, because man has not found yet the reality of the power of the Spirit. He has not found the reality of the angelic hosts that gather around the world waiting an opportunity to enter into the hearts of men and direct them. Those in high places who profess oftentimes to know of the truths of which I speak, and in oftentimes have given forth these things, but smothered them and hidden them so deep that the truth is obscured and their own interpretation is given. They use the Spirit oftentimes for material gain, for material asset. As Christ turned the money changers out of the temple, so would we turn from the temples of the living God. These peoples who distort truth, who use the house of God for material gain, for material profit. You, my child, have seen the light. But you, my child, have seen the revelation of the Spirit, and others like unto you. You have been sorely tried and sorely tested, not found wanting. I want you to realize, my child, that you have a duty to perform, which I know you have endeavored to do to the best of your ability, but you have also a great responsibility. For you it is not easy, child. This young man has a cold.
Besides,
you, my child, have seen the light of truth. You have seen the shining ones who come, the ministering ones, the angelic hosts. Sometimes they do not appear in your world as the world assumes that they should. That is, if they accept the reality of these truths. They do not realize that the ministering ones may be of many kind, from many spheres. There shall be those who come whose light is great and whose purpose is mighty. And there shall be those who come who seem, as it were, insignificant, who seem ill-advised, perhaps. Perhaps in some instances those who have indeed learned very little, who have but stepped out of the body and yet are of the body, whose mentality and outlook is so like unto the material world in which they had their being but short of time ago. But this is as it must be. There are very many ministering souls on different levels, according to their evolution or their lack of it. And there are many in your world who call themselves instruments or mediums. And much of that which is given through them is of little consequence, of a level of experience little removed from the mundane things of earth. These oft-times are the ones who perhaps can see in the material sense more clearly difficulties and problems, and can oft-times advise one on these things. But it alters not the fact, of course, that there are souls far removed from material things, whose task it is to uplift man spiritually. And if they are closely linked with one person, a medium or an instrument such as yourself, entering more fully, as it were, into the life of that instrument, in every sense, Then sometimes it is possible for the highly evolved soul to give guidance of a material nature. What I'm trying to say is this, that all those who have acknowledged and accepted the reality of the power of the spirit and the angelic ministry, these souls should be made fully aware that it still means they have personal responsibility, that they should not expect those on this side to answer many of their problems or take upon themselves the burdens which are material and therefore must be borne in a material sense by the individual concerned who is yet still upon the plane of earth. All the great seers, all the great teachers, all the great prophets of old, invariably, with few exceptions, had much to contend with, many setbacks, many disappointments, many hurts of many a kind, and yet they did the work of the Spirit. For those who would seek the kingdom of God must relinquish much of the material while yet in the body. They must see themselves as they truly are, spiritual beings, yet encased in flesh, giving true balance to these things, like unto the coin, which is of the earth on one side, and the spirit on the other, and yet only valid when both are in, pressed together. Child, do not anticipate in the years that lie ahead that it shall always be as we would wish. Of course, we desire all that is good for you. We desire that you shall be enabled to serve for many years. And I am convinced that this may yet be possible, but it would be wrong of me to suggest that with the advancing years and problems and material life, that it should necessarily be easy. We have never promised the path should be easy. We have never suggested that you should have everything. Everything which you may yourself even feel necessary or essential. But I can say one thing, and that is that you shall not want, that you shall be taken care of to the best of our ability, that you shall be strengthened mentally and physically, and of course, obviously, spiritually. You have reached an age where many women have retired from the field of activity. You have retired in a sense materially, but you have given yourself to spiritual things. You have given yourself as an instrument in love to serve. And this is your joy and ours, that you shall go forth into the world, that you shall bring a little light here and there in the darkened corner of earth, and you shall be strengthened to do this. Be not, therefore, child, unduly aware of these problems that beset you. Be aware of them, but do not allow them too deeply to hurt. You will have times when you will feel, as indeed you have in the past, you will have times when you feel the burden of material things are heavy, and yet somehow you manage, and you go from this place to that place, and your greatest joy is in the serving therein. When you take the rostrum as you damn it, and the words of the Spirit flow forth, when you give the message of enlightenment and comfort, when you heal a broken heart, or when you give faith to those who have lost faith, when you give strength where there is weakness, where you give comfort where there is despair, child, then this truly is your reward. This is your joy and ours. The way is not simple. It was never intended so. One may see in your world all manner of complexities, all manner of causes for depression. We see the state of your world in all its ramifications and conditions.
It's worse, doesn't it?
It is worse because man's intolerance makes it so. Intolerance in all its many ways has created such chaos, such havoc in your world that the distress is felt everywhere. But it is not until man realizes and accepts that he has given his angels charge concerning him, and that one is aware of this in real truth and experience, and one opens one's heart to receive them and follows out that which they have to say, that man shall become like unto the angels, that he shall serve in love and in harmony and in peace, doing the will of the Most High. In these things shall he find his salvation. Man must play his part. Man must be his own salvation, inasmuch that he must endeavor. He must give of himself in service and in love, and he must therefore, in doing this, suffer. In a material sense, we have never suggested that you grow on the path of true devotion to love and service and brotherhood and the power of the spirit, that it should ever be easy.
Do you think that spiritual headway is being made? I know the only news is bad news, according to the world today, but we don't hear about the good.
Sometimes I think I am going to be considered among your friends, and perhaps by yourself, as something of a pessimist.
Oh, no.
Well, child, I will not say anything that I do not myself deeply and sincerely believe and know to be true.
No, sure.
Your world is in such travail, such agony, but it would be wrong to suggest that there are not here and there those who are striving, who are sincerely in their own way endeavoring to serve. And this means that there are many of many nationalities, of race and creed, who in their own fashion, in their own way, are endeavoring to serve and to help mankind. But it does not alter the fact that until man recognizes the reality of the power of the Spirit and the communion that should and can take place between our world and yours, until man sees that your world is not the all-important, it is not the essential, until man sees your world for what it is, a training ground for the evolution and development of the soul, until man sees your world as the womb, until man realizes that it is only the beginning, that it is not the all-in-all, not the absolute and the all-essential aspect of man's life and experience, when man sees your world for what it is, a schoolroom in which he must learn lessons, in which he must go, as it were, from grade to grade, from experience to experience, that he must learn. And in the learning of times, he may feel resentful, he may even feel distressed and perturbed, and may even like only some aspects of learning, and wanting to neglect other lessons. All lessons must be learned before man can hope to achieve in a spiritual sense. He must see the world of the flesh for what it really is. It is only the shell. It is only the cocoon. It is not the glorious, radiant spirit. It is only a reflection. It is only a part, essential part. Nevertheless, it is important for man to see that until he puts his house in order, he cannot understand, neither can he appreciate these things of which we speak. Here and there man is seeking and receiving enlightenment. But his angels cannot do their work until man himself responds, opens up, as it were, the way within himself. Man must work. Man must struggle. Man must endeavor. Man must sacrifice, if necessary, himself. All these things of which I speak, the Christ and other great teachers spoke of, your world shall fade and lose its power and its meaning for every soul that passes through the portal of death. It is not until one looks back and sees, in retrospect, the futilities of man, the stupidities of man, the things that bar his progress, are oftentimes the things that once were most vital, most important, most essential, most necessary to him. Try to see these things with balance, put everything in its place. Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, the material things for what they are worth. Of times beautiful and essential and necessary though they may seem and are at times. But do not place too much store upon these things or revalue them too highly. Remember, it is easier for the poor man to enter the kingdom of God than the rich man. Riches, material wealth, all these things which man strives after are the things which are least important. If man sees with the eyes of the Spirit and hears with the ears of the Spirit, then shall he speak of spiritual things and shall be a partaker of the life-giving power that we bring. You, my child, have knowledge and experience. You have sensed many things and have been given much wisdom. And you have given yourself in love and in service to truth. But it does not mean to say that because of these things that the path of material things shall be made easier. Indeed, they are more difficult because the more conscious you become of the reality of the power and the love of the Spirit and the beauty of the Spirit, the more difficult in a sense it must be to live in your world. Live in your world you must, that you might serve it and give of it, give it that which is of yourself.
I'll do my best.
Child, go forth in strength and in light and in love. Know that the angels that are given in charge concerning thee are round thee at all times when thou needest them. Know that we shall not fail you, because you do not fail yourself. In minor things sometimes, maybe, for this is human to err, but in most things, the strength that you have gained, coming as it does from your realization of truth and knowledge, and the linking up between us and you, and the faith that you have, these things make all things possible. Therefore, child, we are content to serve with you through your word in a perhaps what is a small way, but from little acorns, great oaks to come. My blessing be upon you, child, and all who listen to the voice of the Spirit. Peace and blessing be with you. Farewell, child.
God bless you. God bless you all.
Your mother sends her love and blessing.
Thank you, dear.
Farewell, child.
God bless.
It was lovely today, wasn't it? Sorry for my sneezing.